From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, this week announced a gutting of protections for wetlands and waterways in the Clean Water Act. The proposal redefines what are considered the waters of the United States and offers cover to private property owners who had previously been unable to use pesticides near water. The Farm Bureau and Agribusiness Trade Group lauded the decision. Here is Acting EPA Head Andrew Wheeler on Tuesday announcing the rule change.
When President Trump took office, he immediately began a process to remove and replace undue regulatory burdens that stifle American innovation and economic development. At the top of the list was the Obama administration's 2015 Waters of the United States definition. Today, EPA and the Army Corps are proposing a new definition of Waters of the United States that puts an end to the previous administration's power grab. The three overarching principles that I wanted to ensure are in this proposal are: one, that property owners should be able to stand on their property and be able to tell whether or not they have water that is a federal water without having to hire outside professionals. Number two, that we are clearly defining the difference between a federally protected waterway and state protected waterways. And three, that we are providing the certainty the American public needs and in a manner that will be upheld by the courts. That is why we are closely following the language of the Clean Water Act and the three Supreme Court decisions.
And that's Acting EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler announcing a major rule change redefining the waters of the United States. There will be a public comment period before it becomes implemented. Environmental groups denounced the proposal. Among them is Earth Justice. And my guest is Jennifer Chavez, staff attorney with Earth Justice. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So first, explain what it was that the Obama administration did in 2015 that Andrew Wheeler just referred to called it a power grab. The Obama administration essentially defined what are the waters of the United States. What did that do?
Okay, well, first, it's important to understand that what the Obama administration did was really fairly minor. There was already a definition of waters of the United States. The Clean Water Act has been in place since 1972. And the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers have been working since that time to implement the Clean Water Act using the rules that they've had in place. The Obama administration attempted to respond to calls by some industries to clarify their rules. And there were a series of Supreme Court rulings that called on the agencies to clarify their rules. So that's what the Obama administration attempted to do, and it did a pretty good job. It didn't make significant changes in the number of waters that were actually protected, but it made it easier to tell which waters were protected. Unfortunately, some polluting industries and the Trump campaign and now Trump administration officials have mischaracterized that action, greatly exaggerating its effect, and in some cases just outright lying about the rule. And so that's important background to have about what is motivating this rule.
Wow. So just lying about the rule, somehow that's not surprising with this administration, of course. One of the things that Andrew Wheeler said was that a property owner should be able to stand on their land and tell whether it's federal or state land and not have to hire an outside consultant to determine that. Was that an issue before?
Well, it's misleading, to say the least. So when Andrew Wheeler is talking about a homeowner, a landowner, he's not generally talking about someone who just owns a home or a small farm. He's generally talking about very large industries that engage in polluting activities. And typically when they want to pave over large amounts of land or build massive operations, they have to first look at whether there are wetlands on their land or whether there are streams on their land that are protected by the Clean Water Act. And their goal, it's not really a matter of confusion on their part. Their goal is to minimize the things that they have to do, minimize their costs and minimize the actions that they have to take to protect waters from pollution. So reference to confusion is really a bit misleading. This is about responding to the calls of big polluting industries.
Now, the premise of the protections that were in place is, of course, that water is connected. When you have a stream that's flowing toward a river, what goes into that stream will get into that river. It's a pretty straightforward idea. It's like saying, you know, when we have carbon emissions in the air, it's going to affect the global climate because air doesn't just stay in one place. It mingles and mixes and becomes a global phenomenon. So how does the EPA justify this rule change if now these agribusinesses are going to be able to start using pesticides and allow runoff into waterways that lead to sources of, say, drinking water or that lead to the destruction of wetlands?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not just that these waters are connected. They are one. If you think about your body, for example, if you think about your capillaries, this rule is like cutting off all your capillaries. We're talking about headwater streams that are the birthplace of rivers. And so they're not just connected. They are part of the river. And the same with wetlands. And most people understand that a river and a wetland, that of course water flows downstream, but also you have water underground. That's part of the river, part of the wetland. Wetlands and rivers interact. And so if you dump pollution in a wetland, it will reach rivers where fish swim and where people get their water for drinking water. And then you also have to think about underground drinking water wells. 13 million Americans depend in the United States depend on drinking water wells. Less protection for small streams and wetlands means more contamination of drinking water wells. And yes, in some states, particularly out in the West, we're talking about 18% of all streams, both by number and by stream length, losing protection, and up to 51% of all wetlands losing federal protection. And that means that these large industries, agribusiness, just anything, large operations that involve, that typically are the type that have frequent oil spills, for example, those industries will start moving into these areas because they don't need to worry about controlling their pollution as much anymore.
Wow. So what specifically is the EPA under Andrew Wheeler saying it will do now? What does this now mean? Does this now mean that big farms and farm businesses will be able to, will be completely unfettered when it comes to runoff and pollution of these waterways? Or are there any restrictions left in place?
Well, one of the things that you asked about earlier, what are the justifications for this rule? One of the things that Andrew Wheeler alluded to in his announcement on Tuesday was the need to make clear which waters are protected by the states and which are protected by the federal government. But that, again, is very misleading. Part of what Congress did when it adopted the Clean Water Act in a bipartisan effort was that it said, look, the states are failing, just completely failing to protect water quality. We have rivers on fire. We have totally degraded water quality. So what we're going to do as Congress is set a floor, a federal floor, and we're going to leave it to the states to continue doing permitting, to continue setting their own standards and enforcing their permits. And you can protect waters to the, the sky is the limit for states. They can protect waters as much as they want, but they can't drop below that federal floor. So when EPA says that they want to hand over more waters to the states to protect, and only the states to protect. All that means is that they're removing that federal floor and allowing states more flexibility to allow more pollution. And that's exactly what will happen. Some of these waters are technically protected under state laws, but the reason that the Clean Water Act exists is because states far and wide fail to implement their own laws. And some of them just don't have meaningful protections for these sorts of waters. A lot of states depend on EPA to protect these waters. And so, yes, many states will simply, engage in a race to the bottom. They want to attract industry. They want to be able to say, hey, come here and it'll be cheap for you. And so a lot of these states, especially the ones in the West that will really lose out on significant protection under this rule, will start to see many, many polluting industries just blossom.
Now, the Farm Bureau representative Zippy Duval was present, as were the representatives of the 50 state bureaus at this EPA announcement on Tuesday, where Andrew Wheeler spoke. What is this organization's interest and who do they represent? Because it sounds like, of course, when you just hear Wheeler, it sounds like he's just interested in small business owners or private property owners, homeowners, etc.
Well, the American Farm Bureau Federation is, at this point, it's largely playing the role of advocating for large industrial agribusiness, large CAFOs, confined animal feeding operations, big, major, mega farms that, maybe grow one single crop over millions of acres. A lot of farmers have said, and a lot of farmers commented in support of the Obama rule, saying, we need clean water. We need clean water, and we are in support of these protections. We want to be stewards of the land. In fact, one of the main falsehoods that was used to justify this rule, both before Trump was elected and since then, is the claim that farmers would need a federal permit in order to walk through a puddle on their land, which is just completely false.
Wow.
It's also important to note that agricultural operations are almost completely exempt from any requirements under the Clean Water Act. They already are exempt from almost all permitting requirements. So it looks very misleading to have them out in front when the industries that do require permits are less sympathetic, and they're allowing the American Farm Bureau Federation to sit out in front and pretend to be representing the small yeoman farmer when in fact they're representing big business.
Right. So there is a comment period that the public can submit comments about this proposed rule change. Is that, is there any recourse that people can take using that public comment period, and how long will it be?
Yes. So the comment period hasn't started yet. It will kick off when this proposed rule is formally published in the Federal Register. And that will be announced on EPA's webpage. And at that point, anyone can comment online. EPA will have a link to the comment page. You can also find it at regulations.gov. And there will be a 60-day comment. Again, anyone can comment. Any person in the United States, or actually anywhere, can comment. And then it's important to comment, because then that will set the foundation for further action in the future, including potentially legal challenges to this rule. It's hard to say and predict what will happen. The rule is still not final. It could be changed. But we're very concerned that some aspects of the proposal are contrary to what Congress intended in the Clean Water Act. And so there may be legal challenges afterward. And so it's important to set that up by telling EPA and the Corps of Engineers, you don't support this rule and you support clean water.
Now, I want to just ask you sort of a broader question, because I don't know how clear this is to, you know, the layperson, which is that wetlands are really important to preserve not only the land around where they are, but also because we live in at a time when we're seeing the impacts of climate change pretty severely. Aren't wetlands also critical in protecting from flooding, etc.? And I mean, wouldn't this proposed rule change, if it goes through, just remove protections for coastal communities or people living near wetlands?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Wetlands are critical for preventing flooding and controlling flooding, and they do all sorts of things. The administration's own analysis admits that the loss of these wetlands will mean greater cost for pollution controls, more costs in drinking water treatment, with climate change already increasing the number and intensity of large storms, that means more flooding. And so with this rule paving the way for more wetlands to be destroyed, we're not only going to have more risk of flooding, but we're also going to be less able to deal with that. So this rule is really putting everybody between a rock and a hard place with climate change.
What do you think the Trump administration's motivation is here specifically? Are they just getting campaign donations from the Farm Bureau? I mean, I can't imagine that Trump, also, of course, it's possible that there are real estate issues here, because we do know that, you know, like the Bush administration was filled with oil men, the Trump administration is filled with real estate men.
Right. Well, it's called development, which makes it sound very innocuous. But yes, real estate development, essentially sprawl, is a big part of the economic driver of this rule. The National Association of Home Builders, for example, represents all of these real estate companies that are interested in building in as many places as they can, regardless of how that affects water quality. And so that's a major driver. But yes, I think that the Trump administration is simply trying to make good on one of its campaign promises, and it was making that promise to polluting industries.
The New York Times said that real estate developers and also golf course owners opposed the Obama era rules, and we know that Trump is definitely a golf course owner. Now, you mentioned in passing that there might be some legal challenges that might be coming in the way. Are there states that can challenge this? Because as you said, states are reliant on the federal government to enforce regulations protecting water. So could states, attorney generals, sue the government to prevent this rule change from taking place?
Yes. In fact, with the Obama administration rule, there were a good, strong handful of states that got involved in court challenges to help defend the rule. And we're very hopeful that those same states will get involved here and challenge this rule and try to stop it from going forward, because almost every state is downstream from another state. So if upstream states decide to be the ones to, declare open season on waters and open up their doors for polluting businesses, downstream states will suffer. And so many states have an interest in fighting back against this rule. And then there are, of course, small businesses, small farms that need clean water that may challenge the rule, environmental groups, businesses that depend on clean water for their businesses, like guides and fishing guides and recreational businesses. So I think it's fair to say that a lot of people who need clean water will be seriously considering legal challenges if this rule goes through.
Now, President Trump, in a completely unrelated tweet recently, and he sort of said this in passing in other tweets before, but in a tweet about the Paris and the France yellow vest protests, erroneously linking that to enforcement of the Paris Accord, made a statement saying, "I want clean air and clean water and have been making great strides in improving America's environment." That sentence just by itself, how would you assess the veracity of it?
Well, to be honest, I cannot think of a single thing that the Trump administration has done for for clean water. That's my main area. I can't think of a single thing that the Trump administration has done to strengthen protections for clean air. So I'm afraid that is going to earn him some Pinocchios. But at a minimum, even if they might be making small steps in some marginal areas, a rule like this just severely undercuts any kind of minor steps forward that the administration might be claiming.
And by the way, the issue of contamination of drinking water is also something we had talked about earlier. The farm bill just passed the Senate. It heads to the House. Now it's a massive farm bill, and it's got lots of moving parts and lots of little things baked into it. But one of the things that the Environmental Working Group, another environmental organization, said was that they applaud some of the drinking water reforms in that farm bill, saying that this bill rejects pesticide riders and preserves existing conservation compliance requirements and actually helps farmers transition to organic farming more so than before. And I'm wondering if this would end up contradicting some of these things in the Farm Bill would end up contradicting or overriding the proposed changes to the Clean Water Act that the EPA announced.
Yes, I think there's no serious doubt that it is undermining what Congress is trying to accomplish. In the Trump administration's own analysis, they are just openly admitting that they predict that there will be higher drinking water costs, that you'll have drinking water reservoirs that have to be dredged out because they'll just be full of sediment and contamination. And so they know that this rule will be putting increased burdens on drinking water systems.
Wow. And yet they have continued to do it. Finally, let's. What are some of the things that you recommended that people do? You mentioned regulations.gov is a place that they can check in a few days to see where they can file public comments. Are there actions that organizations like yours might be taking?
Yes, we will also be commenting. We'll be trying to gather as many on-the-ground examples as we can of waters that are going to lose protections. If any of your viewers live by streams or wetlands that are going to lose protection, it's important for them to speak up and tell their personal stories. It's a lot of people maybe underestimate this, but it really makes a difference to hear from people who are directly affected, who say, you know, I use this stream for my drinking water, to swim in, to, you know, whatever, water my garden, and I don't want some polluter to come in here and dump pollution without federal controls. It's important for everyone to speak. It's also important for them to call their elected representatives and tell them. Congress is in a good position to put pressure on EPA to either change this rule or just scrap it entirely. And so there are a lot of things that people can do.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm assuming earthjustice.org is a good place for people to check out?
Yes. We're going to be putting up an analysis within the next couple of days, really kind of going into detail about this, what this rule does.
That's earthjustice.org. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Chavez is a staff attorney with Earth Justice. We've been discussing proposed rule changes to the Clean Water Act and the definition of waters of the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo. Thank you very much, Jennifer.